This interview is for the podcast of Territoire Partagé, which is a website that Joanna Bienne started. And it's looking at the ecology or the ecosystems of contemporary dance training in Quebec. It's mostly Montreal, but also following the province. And we've been interviewing different influential people and just looking at how professional dancers are training and all the different systems that are kind of making up the ecosystem of training in Montreal. So maybe we could just start with you telling us a little bit about yourself and your dance practice.
Okay, so my name is James Viveros. We've met before, obviously. So I'm from Western Canada originally, but I've been in Montreal since 1996. Mm-hmm. So I went to a school called Grant McEwen. It was a conservatory program. I went to a theater school, music theater school, and then I went to the dance program. I had a scholarship to go there. And then, like a lot of people in West Canada or elsewhere, they go to Montreal or Toronto. And I chose Montreal because I had a tour here before I was leaving. I was graduated from the conservatory, from the school, and then I was looking for a place to go. And of course, I fell in love with the quality and type of work that existed here. Yeah. So then I moved to Montreal, and I was a freelance for about 3 years and did all types of things and got into all types of trouble. And then I got a job with Marie Chouinard, and I've been worked with her since 1999 till I think I did my last gig in 2017, but then I did a job with her in 2018. So it was for a long time that I was dancing with her.
Do you think your experience dancing for her influenced your way of training?
Absolutely. I think also, too, spending a long time there definitely shapes who I am as an artist today, and I bring that history forward with me into what I do now.
Yeah,
it's a big, substantial chunk of my career and my shaping. And you know, I think everything that we do from the past surfaces through and comes through if we're open to it.
Yeah. What kind of training did you need to do when you were working for the company and touring?
Well, it's interesting because she would bring in people to train us, so we had a lot of continuum.
Yeah.
Depending what the creation needed, sometimes we had like a hip hop dancer come in. We had ballet classes. We had Skinner Release. We had Andrew Harwood. We just try on some stuff. You know, we had a lot of like breath work and body work, and sometimes we had singing. Sometimes we had voice work. So it was really a mix of a lot of stuff. But at the very core, you know, we needed a really strong body to be able to control or to do the choreographies that she wanted. So there's kind of an internal training that happens for each piece.
What does like technique mean to you at this point?
Okay, well, technique.
Or training.
Training. Well, I think like as we get older, we hone into a certain way that we need to feel good in our body to protect our aging bodies especially.
Yeah.
To function, but I think training and technique changes on many levels. You know, when you're 19, 16, 17, 18, 19, you have a different kind of energy in the body and a different kind of competition and a need and a desire. And, you know, if through the years that changes, like there's a different season to your life. So mm-hmm. you need to, you know, maintain or repair, or I think it also depends on too the type of work that you're doing and who you're working for. So, you know, obviously certain choreographies require different things. And whether you're doing your own work, whether you're doing somebody else's work, I think technique is a skill that you've developed over many, many years. And it's something that you can rely on so that you can go off of the formality of it.
And I wonder about this for myself, but do you have a personal practice? And do you think that's different than technique?
Yeah, I do actually. I think also my personal practice is a mix of everything that I've done in the past, you know, like how we kind of shop around and we mm-hmm. leave some things that we don't need and we don't go to certain types of classes because it doesn't feel good in our body or just not necessary. Or, yeah, we definitely have an ongoing practice, a study, you know, currently. Like I'm a Gaga teacher, and I graduated from a Gaga program in 2017, and I've been studying Gaga since 2015. So I've been going to Israel and training. And now this studies of Gaga has taken me onto another route of my own history that I'm bringing forward, you know.
How did you come to teaching? Like, how did you start doing
that? Oh, well, I left the company and then, you know, as all aging dancers do, there's that question of what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really looking for a way to bring my experience forward because I didn't want to stop dancing. And I feel like I've gathered this body of knowledge that I wanted to share with somebody that, you know, to teach, you need to practice, and vice versa. So I felt this need to express and share in that way. And it was really like a big desire and a big urgency for me.
Could you like describe in a little more detail what you teach and the kind of like experience or environment you're trying to create when you teach?
I'm teaching a lot of classes for non-dancers now, which is really satisfying. I think there's a need for people in this day and age to feel some sort of relief of tension and stress, and also to be comfortable with their bodies and to get to know their bodies and find mobility and find pleasure and find a sense of relief. And this is for like a general class of non-dancers, and I find dancers are looking for another way to connect to their power in their body and their technique. And I mean, we all, I think, are looking for that. So I think I'm teaching tools to be able to help people find that power within themselves and that autonomy of their body.
Could you give me an example of a kind of a tool? Like, I took your class a little while back, and one of the things I really enjoyed about it was I felt like you really worked us through a whole range of each quality you introduced. It was like we explored it in the smallest degree, and then all of the range moving out to like a really extreme place that I don't always go.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great how you managed to get people there.
I think, I definitely work with textures and qualities of movements, and this is important as much as function and mobility. So not only is it about range of movement, but it's about texture and quality and discovering your own limits within that and pushing yourself along those limits if need be. And of course you decide actually if you take the class how far you want to go with that, because you're the one that's deciding for your own self. I'm just there to kind of cue and lead you on. Of course I'll try and push you, but it's ultimately you who's giving yourself class. And also to, you know, work with effort and bring a sense of pleasure to that effort, you know, and to not move away from pushing ourselves to that extreme and all the qualities in between, you know, so that our movement is not just on and off or a reaction or our approach to movement is all or nothing. Everything in the subtleties and the delicacy that's in between.
I was wondering if you had any thoughts as to why it seems like there's more and more open sort of source classes being offered for the community, and could you speak to why you think dancers are looking for that?
Well, I think we're looking for a way to connect to our strength in an untraditional way, in a way that's with more autonomy, with more of a responsibility as artists and as people, and to search within ourselves to bring those qualities out. Also, too, I think there's something that I try to create in my classes where it's about behaving as opposed to performing. So hopefully we get into a state of physicality that we can get out of that. It's very yogic in a sense.
Yeah.
I consider it out of that monkey brain and out of that needing to hide or be shy and just be comfortable in our own skin and our own body and whatever that means to you at whatever level. And it's not about taking up too much space. It's about taking your space but also leaving the space for others.
I think you taught yoga too, right?
Yes.
So there's
yes,
things
yes.
that teaching yoga brought to your dance practice or brought to your teaching of Gaga?
Absolutely. You know, and I don't teach yoga anymore, but I can't deny that there's that essence of it. People are also looking for alternative ways of connecting on many levels, to themselves, to the world around us, to each other. It's to be in a room full of people in free movement, as you know, is very exhilarating. And it's very, you know, not as common in Canada as other places in the world. You know, the sense of community coming together and moving together, mm-hmm. and being in the group and also being individual in the group. So.
Yeah, it was very fun going to your class. And it was nice to be with so many different kinds of people in a space that felt like, like you had agency, but you also had community.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, and you kind of touched on this, but I was wondering if like there's been a feedback loop, like where your teaching has kind of nourished your own dance practice or the things you want to make.
Completely, you know, completely. And that's why I teach or give classes, because it teaches me a lot of how to communicate, and it helps me also hone in my ideas and define my ideas. And honestly, it's cliche to say, but it's really a gift. It's really an honor. Like it feels really good to share.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's on a very silly, esoteric level, perhaps, it's a pure pleasure to be able to give class and have people come to class.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think there's things in your experience as a performer that you're able to share with people?
Completely. Yeah, yeah. You know, and if they want to listen, great. And it's nice to have an audience that is enthusiastic about moving and interested in your experience. And teaching has influenced my own artistic practice by simply, you know, exercising ideas that I have with people in movement and communication.
That's good.
Yeah.
You were saying before that you're making work on the second years at EDCM.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, like, I don't know, having had a long career in contemporary dance, are there trends that you notice or changes that you notice in new generations of dancers?
Oh my God, completely. I mean, I'm an emerging choreographer, and I've done about 4 pieces in the past 4 years, and I'm continuing to make work, and it's, I really like it. It's a real pleasure. And, you know, as we know, there is trends and fashions and mm-hmm. in dance, and we see it all the time. And especially, I think, culturally, where we're from in the world shapes how we produce movement.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can only speak about what you know or only teach what you know. And I think, in a sense, it's interesting to see your habits or to see where your influences come from and step back and go, hey, where is this coming in from? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I truly believe that everywhere we've worked and the time that we spent with people becomes a part of us.
Yeah.
And we're definitely influenced by all those things. And it's our responsibility as choreographers and artists to be able to honor where the ideas come from.
Yeah.
And not necessarily deny that urge to use an idea, but just to change it enough that it becomes your, like, comes from you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the way I've been thinking about this stuff lately is like how there's sort of this technology and this culture that we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's like each person's take on it. But it's like you don't have to invent a whole language each time you write a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like there's certain things that are the part of the commons of just like what the human body can do,
mm-hmm.
what the human spirit can do. And to teach now is kind of like more unique to you.
Hmm. Well, I think I'm 47 years old, and I still teach Gaga, and I love Ohad's classes, and I love his teachings and his methodology, but it's definitely necessary for me to be able to not deny my past.
Yeah.
And all the years that I spent with Marie and all the things that I learned, and that's a part of me, of who I am too in my teaching.
Yeah.
So my classes still feel very, very similar to Gaga. It's not that I'm not doing that. It's just I decided to be able to branch off and have more autonomy in that sense. And
maybe you could just like briefly summarize what a Gaga class is for people who don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Gaga is a movement methodology created by Ohad Naharan from Batsheva. And it was created maybe about 17 years ago. I don't know. He had a back injury, and he was looking for a way to move through this injury. And so it became the main training of the Bat Sheva dancers. And so they would take this before they'd go into rehearsal. And it's a methodology that uses many ideas that can come from ballet, from Tai Chi, from yoga, from contact improvisation, all these things. But it's a very specific language that he has developed that's always changing. And it's a way to connect to your body and give you tools to be able to manage movement in a different way. Mm-hmm. And to discover, you know, areas of your body that are weak or strong, or just the textures. And choreographically, he would use gaga to create these qualities within very structured choreographed movement. A way of putting the body in a state of being, as opposed to performing, of reacting also.
So it's generating something in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. That you would use on top of a framework, a choreography. And then he started teaching to people also, and it's really taken off from there.
Yeah. Can you name a little bit what your own take is, where you're going?
Yeah, you know, I along these lines of finding freedom and autonomy and responsibility and investigation. This is one thing that I'm really interested in, is the problem solving within your own body, the curiosity to discover the mechanics of the body. Mm. And also a lot of unlayering of, like, sometimes people have said to me, oh, thank you, I feel very good after the class. And it's like, well, you've done the work. It's like I feel like sometimes they think, oh, I've given them permission to, like, open up into the world. But it's them. I'm just guiding the class. Uh-huh. I'm just giving instructions, and it's great if they connect to that. But this idea of not needing to hide and dim themselves and be less of. So
that's pretty beautiful. I have just one other question, which is really just my own curiosity. But, you know, there's, like, as a professional dancer, you're asked to generate movement. And so it makes total sense to me that we would have methods that help us to generate movement. But it seems to me like there's also that particular skill of retaining information and being able, and it's like, I was talking to David Valcour about this also, but, like, there's, like, that fragile thing where you're trying to revisit an improv that you've done and make it new and fresh and alive, and yet remember what was interesting and particular about it. Like, do you have any insights as to, like, or what do you do when you found a state that's interesting and you want to be able to revisit?
A lot of us in Quebec and around the world, as you know, as being a dancer yourself, work in this way of states.
Yeah.
You know, and I and Marie works in a ton of systems and states, and I think within that there's parameters that are set. Because if the parameters are not there, then it just becomes improvisation, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But the parameters become this training. So we know that there's a certain type of menu that we need to follow within a structured period of time. But the parameters put us in that state of reacting to time and space and music. And
that answers my question.
Yeah. And I think gaga on top of that would deal with quality of movements a little bit, perhaps. Not that the parameters wouldn't either. I think we're talking about the same thing.
But there's different layers to it. And sometimes I wonder if we're missing language. So that if we could really differentiate the different aspects we're looking at, it might be easier to have conversations about these things we're trying to make, you know?
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting that you talk about language being the heart of it. It really is. You know, we all have very similar experiences in dance and similar ways of teaching.
Yeah.
And so I think then we start to, some of us start to put a vocabulary to it, and then it becomes something. But at the very root of it, I think we're talking about a lot of similar things. Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, thank you so much for your time and for
coming
in. My pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. Thank you.